Hello, this is Brother Denny. Welcome to Charity Ministries. Our desire is that your life would be blessed and changed by this message. This message is not copyrighted and is not to be bought or sold. You are welcome to make copies for your friends and neighbors. If you would like additional messages, please go to our website for a complete listing at www.charityministries.org. If you would like a catalog of other sermons, please call 1-800-227-7902 or write to Charity Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, PA, 17522. These messages are offered to all without charge by the free will offerings of God's people. A special thank you to all who support this ministry.
Grace and peace be unto you from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Grace and peace be unto you. Amen. Well, a lot of you didn't have the blessed opportunity that I had yesterday. We witnessed Billy and Alta's wedding. What a blessing it was to be there and see them join their hands and their hearts. Amen, Brother Rick. I was blessed, brought back many memories, and also had many thoughts about my engagement to Christ and soon to be married to Him, and had to think, seeing Alpha sitting up front there, there was just nothing that could change her schedule for that day. Nothing was more important to her than preparing herself for her groom. Nothing was... No one meant more to her than to be there that day, yesterday, and give her hands and her heart to her groom. And I pondered that in my relationship with Christ and my preparing my heart to meet Him, to see Him someday. He's coming for all those who love His appearing, all those who are getting ready for Him, all those who won't let anything come between them and that day. They won't let anything distract them. They won't let anything turn their heart away from Him. They're going to be ready. He's coming for a bride who's made herself ready. All praise and glory be to that one. He is worthy. Thank you, Myron. A thankful heart needs to be a thanksgiving heart. And a thanksgiving heart is one that will bow down and worship and confess His unworthiness to Jesus Christ. Let's stand to read the Word of God. Brother Rick's been having us stand to read the Word of God, so I want to follow his example as he follows Christ. I appreciate that. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. It's my goal to exalt Christ this morning, to give Him His honored place, to draw your hearts to Him. would like us to see a little picture of him in Revelations chapter 1 before we go to Colossians chapter 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Okay, you may be seated. And if we read a little further in Revelation chapter 2, we find a church, the first church that was spoken of here, the church of Ephesus. They had lost their first love, and Christ had somewhat against them. Something against them because they had lost their first love. So I've been pondering that in my pilgrimage here and where I'm at. As I remembered who this proud young man was, going his own way, not retaining God in his knowledge, on that downward spiral that speaks of there in Romans chapter 1. And yet Christ, in His mercy, He sent roadblocks. He set roadblocks in my way. He was merciful to me. He redeemed me. He took me out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, gave me a sure foundation to stand upon, and oh, I was grateful. I remember the days. And it caused me to worship Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an easy thing to make Him Lord of all. It was my joy to sing that little chorus as I did my work. He is Lord. And I bow to Him. And I confess You, Lord Jesus, as my Lord. I was just an unworthy servant. Filled with love for the love that He had for me. I worshipped Him. I adored Him. He was my all. And I was pondering those things and sensed a coldness coming in my heart towards Christ, a taking Him for granted, a taking of my salvation for granted. Been pondering those things over the last couple of weeks. Just been noticing some things in my own life and purposing in my heart to draw near to Him and come back to that first love that I knew in Christ. He is the first and the last. He is the Prince of the Kings, it says there in Revelation chapter 1. John saw Him in some of His glory and he fell at His feet as dead. How do you see the Lord Jesus today? What does He mean to you today? Let's fall on our face before Him. Let's worship Him. He is worthy. The one songwriter said, He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I pondered many of the things that we sing in many of the songs, and even the ones we were singing this morning. He is worthy of all of your heart, brother and sister. He is worthy of everything that you need to give up to follow Him. He's worthy of all of your heart's adoration. And then you can only fall at His feet and say, it was my reasonable service. I'm just an unworthy servant. Who is this Christ? This Christ, the Messiah, Let's read about him in Colossians chapter 1 a bit here. My goal is to exalt him this morning. There was those two that walked with Jesus after his resurrection. He told them, he explained the things that about himself there in the Old Testament to them, and they said, "My, how our hearts burned." My, how our hearts should burn this morning with love for Jesus. Let's look at who He is a bit here. And I'm going to start at verse 1 just because I want you to note how much Jesus meant to Paul in the opening here, in the greeting. It's like all that was on his heart was Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know? He keeps bringing up that name of Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working which worketh in me mightily. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, and abounding therein, with thanksgiving, with worship, with gratefulness, without taking it for granted. This Lord Jesus Christ, this exalted person, Paul lifts up here before the church at Colossae, because they were getting their eyes off of Christ. They were, I'm not even sure I understand what all they were into, but it seems they had or maybe just some false teachers were coming in teaching some false things, but it seems that they were being told some untruths, and they were starting to get all caught up in these touch knots, taste knots, handle knot, and what all that meant, what all that stood for, I'm not sure, but one thing I do know is that it put a damper on their love for Christ. All of a sudden, Jesus Christ didn't have the exalted place in their hearts that He used to. And Paul writes them a letter. And the Holy Spirit inspires him. And he magnifies Christ in a beautiful way here. Puts him right back in the center where he belongs. In verses 15 through 18, there's seven things I want to point out there that he tells us about Jesus. This great I Am. He is the visible form of the invisible God. Jesus Christ is your God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the image. This Jesus, whom we preach, crucified among you, He is the visible form of the invisible God who you worship. Wow. He is the heir of all creation. It says that He's the firstborn of every creature. The third one, He was He was the one that spoke this world into existence. He's the one that breathed into you the breath of life. He was before this world was. He always was and always will be. And this is the one that so blesses me, the fifth one here. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. By Him, everything coheres and stays together. Without Him, we couldn't even be here. He's the head of the body in verse 18. And He's the firstborn from the dead. Just like as in Adam, who fell, who sinned, we were all born sinners. So, as in Christ, who, though He gave His life for us, yet the grave couldn't hold Him. He rose up from the grave victorious over death, over sin, over the enemy. So, we can rise in newness of life. So, Paul paints a picture here of the exalted person of Christ. Just from His lordship, just from the view of, just from the perspective of Him being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is enough. That is enough for us to fall down and worship Him. But praise God, He didn't just stop there. But let's look at in some of these verses, let's bring out the points of salvation. I have here a sevenfold salvation in verses 12 through 22. He's not only the heir of all that the Father has. He has made us part of the inheritance. Look at what it says in verse 12. He has made us meet. He has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He didn't just keep the inheritance for Himself. He brought us into that inheritance. And everything that the Father has is Christ. And He has everything that is His, He has given to us. He has made us joint heirs with Himself. He has delivered us. Look at verse 13. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. And the third point, He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Praise God. That's why we fall down and worship Him. That's why we give Him our heart's adoration. He has delivered us and didn't just leave us in the cold after He delivered us. He has brought us into His kingdom. Redemption through His blood, verse 14. And forgiveness. We have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Brothers and sisters, we should never get over the wonder. We've been forgiven of our sins. You were born in sin. You were born a sinner. But He has given you forgiveness from your sins. You have been forgiven. He has blotted out your transgressions. He has blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He has blotted out your transgressions. And He doesn't remember them against you no more. He has forgiven you. Do you live in the realization that Jesus Christ has forgiven you, and that through His blood you can have redemption, you can have the forgiveness of your sin? We have been reconciled, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile, by Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And no, your situation's not too difficult for Him. He can reconcile you. You know, we live in a world of a lot of difficult situations. We live in, and I guess it's been this way ever since the fall of man. It looks impossible to be reconciled. It looks impossible to be delivered. And sometimes I look at some situations and think, what a difficult situation. But not for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not for this prince over all the kings. He has reconciled all things unto Himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And I just take that, I just see that as Him saying, it doesn't matter how big, how difficult the situation. He has reconciled all things. And in verse 21 and 22, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. For what purpose? To present you, this is transfiguration, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. He doesn't just leave you there forgiven of your sins. He transfigures you. He will, if you will allow Him, present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Jude says, unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Well, the question is, does Jesus Christ have that exalted place in your heart today? Is He the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your heart today? Is He that great I Am, that exalted person that that you love to give homage to, that you love to bow down and adore and worship? Is He getting your heart's attention every day? Are you satisfied with Jesus Christ? Can you sing the song. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley. The bright and morning star. All I need. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In trial, He's my comfort. In trouble, He's my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. Well, He can be, He wants to be, He needs to be. If He's not, He's saying what He told the Apostle John there. I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. And just thought, in making this practical this morning, what are the things that are drowning out the first love in your heart? What is taking your focus away from this exalted Lord Jesus, this one who is worthy of everything in your heart? What's taking your focus from Christ? You say, well, I can't spend all day reading my Bible. I can't spend all day on my knees. But what do you do in your free time? I had to think of the land that we live in. We're much given to hobbies. One of the builders that I do work for, they send out a monthly paper. And in this paper, they always have the employee of the month. And they give information about him, if he's married and what his trade is. But always on the bottom, it gives his list of hobbies. Well, what is your hobbies? And we can do things for recreation that can maybe enhance our love for Christ. But I'm speaking of those things that, when we have free time, there we go. Or even if we don't have the free time, there's where our mind is. We can't wait to get there. We can't wait to do that. I'm speaking of a hobby as something that it has your heart. I took the guys fishing on Friday. And I had to think of that. You know, some people, they give their heart to that. All they can think of is going fishing. They give their life to it. And having never been a fisherman and never gone fishing, I guess I didn't have real high expectations. But it was exhilarating to me. There was some excitement when these fellas started pulling fish up. I couldn't believe it. I guess I thought we were going to go out there and sit and on a boat and look at the water all day. But these guys actually started pulling fish in. And I thought, wow, look at that. And I guess that could take your heart. That's right. You need to be careful over those things. Where are you spending your time and energy and joys and emotions? And is it in fishing? Is it in going to the mountains and running around on a four-wheeler? Is it surfing the web? One of these hobbies that come up from time to time is surfing the web. I'm not sure if I know what that means, but I think I have an idea. I don't really know how to get on the web, so I rely on Mark for that. It is very critical, brothers and sisters. Where is your heart? What has your love? What has your focus? Jesus Christ must be the center of that wheel. And there are many spokes that go out from that wheel. There are many things we do, many things we get involved in. And they all have their place. But it must be in Christ Jesus. It must be in everything we're doing, it's with a heart full of adoration to Christ. And whatever we find ourselves doing, it's for Christ.
On my way home from the wedding, I stopped for gas and I was paying at the counter, and someone comes up and that knew the fella and asked him how it's going, and same old thing, just another day. And I thought as I walked away from there, he's not doing that for Christ. And I should have told him. But if you are doing whatsoever you're doing as unto Jesus, life is exhilarating. Whether it's doing your everyday work or pulling in a fish. You can know. And praise God, I have experienced the joy of going out and laboring with my hands, whether it's in ideal conditions or not. I know what it is like to be in love with Jesus and have an enjoyable day. And at the end of a hard day of work, to have my heart inspired and enthralled with the fact that Jesus loves me. He's forgiven me of my sins. That needs to be a reality in our hearts. And if it's not, brothers and sisters, we need to examine our hearts. Well, Paul does get practical here. And, you know, we've talked about it a number of times that with our children, we don't want to just give them the negative. We don't want to just tell them no all the time. We need to give them something to do. We need to give them something constructive, something that they can give their energies to. Well, the Apostle Paul does that here. We have in Colossians 3, we're told what to do. That if you be risen with Christ, seek those things. Go after those things which are above. I have here that every honest searching of the heart to root out what God hates, every earnest effort after forgiveness, every aspiration after a diviner life, every sincere endeavor is a seeking after the things above. So you want to know what seeking those things are which are above? How do I make that practical in my life? Root out what God hates.
aspire to the diviner life, to that life that is like Christ. Make a sincere endeavor in seeking after things that are above. Jesus said, if you believe on me, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you say, again, what is that? How is that made practical in my life? How do I know if I have rivers of living water flowing out of me? I think your life will emanate forth the character of Jesus Christ. You will have love and joy and peace and the gifts of the Spirit that it talks about in Galatians chapter 5 there, flowing forth from your soul. Not something that you work up, but something that is a part of you because you're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not something that you have to grit your teeth every time a temptation comes your way and grin and bear it. No, it just flows forth from you. The joy of the Lord. Okay. How do you aspire to glorify Christ? Seek those things which are above. Also it says, set your affection, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What are the things above? Can we name a few of them? Set your mind on things above. What are the things above? Ernie. To love our Lord, okay? Our great God is above, isn't He? He is the center of what is above. Okay, let's set our mind on Jesus Christ, the Exalted One. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. You set your mind on Him. And you will have rivers of life flowing out of you. What else is above? Set your mind on things above. Is that all that's above? Reuben. Heaven. Okay. That's right. Well, what does that consist of? Yes, it does consist of Jesus Christ. What else? Redeemed sinners. Okay. How about sanctified saints? Amen. We have fellowship going on above, don't we? There's fellowship going on up there. There is a great celebration of joyful fellowship, of sanctified fellowship going on. Set your mind on the heavenly fellowship that's going on in heaven right now. That's going on around the throne. Meditate on that while you're at work someday and see if you don't come home with a spring in your step and a desire to fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Anything else above? Praise and worship. Set your mind on praise and worship. Yes. There are angels given the job to stand before the throne day and night crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Set your mind on that for a day. Anything else above? Yes. Christ's name is being glorified from every tribe, kindred, and tongue. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Jake. Amen. We need to look with the eyes of our heart. Okay. You put your mind on things above, and your focus will stay on Christ. Your love will stay strong for Christ. The fruits of the Spirit will flow from your life. But then it does also say, mortify your members which are upon the earth. This is also how to make practical this keeping our focus on Jesus Christ. Mortifying those things in our life. Rooting out those things that God hates. How do we know what God hates? Become a student of His Word. And you'll know what He hates. And you'll know what He loves. You'll know what His heart is. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those things that the selfishness of man hankers after. The self-centeredness of man seeks to please himself. God wants you to deny yourself. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, as you have opportunity, don't give in to the lust of your flesh. No. Let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. And I'll just put a plug in right here for moving days. I think of it sometimes. We move families sometimes on Saturdays. And the word is put out to, we're going to have a moving day. And sometimes it's pretty sparse, the amount of people that show up. And I trust that it's all because everyone is busy doing good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. But sometimes I wonder if it's because we'd rather do our own thing. We'd rather make our own plans and we'd rather please ourselves. I guess I've thought of it numerous times, especially with you young men. With all of your energy and all of your zeal. What a wonderful way to come and spend it. Blessing your brother. But you know, most of what's there is the married men, the 40-year-olds, the ones that should be sitting back and watching you young men do the work. Just a little plug there. If you're having a hard time keeping your focus on Christ, maybe that's the problem. Maybe your heart doesn't burn with a desire to do good unto all men, especially of the household of faith. Covetousness, which is idolatry, just a word about covetousness. Noel had a children's lesson about that the other Sunday. Who can tell me what? Why covetousness is idolatry? Anyone remember? Noel, why is covetousness idolatry? Say it again. Okay. Other things are more important to us than God, whether it's some hobby or making money. It's desiring something else more than we desire this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the beginning and the end.
Well, I guess a lot more could be said. He gives quite a bit of practical instruction here of other things to put off. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Put off lying. Be honest. Tell the truth. Be sincere. Put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. After all, if our hearts are taken up and overwhelmed with the forgiveness of Christ, it should be a little thing to forgive those who have trespassed against us. Don't hold someone else in a prison. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And we're talking about keeping that first love alive, vibrant in our souls. These are things that you need to do. These are things that need to be a part of your life if your focus is going to stay on Christ. If you take Christ, if you take these things for granted, if you take the doing good to all men for granted, if you take this word for granted, if you take the singing of these beautiful hymns and the psalms for granted, and you take the gifts of the Spirit for granted, or the fruits of the Spirit, and the seeking those things which are above, then I will tell you, you have taken the Lord Jesus Christ for granted. You have lost your first love. He is King of Kings. And He's the Lord of Lords. And He is worthy to be worshipped, to be adored. I think Benjamin Bayliss McKinney was enjoying his first love when he penned these words. Blessed Savior, we adore Thee. We Thy love and grace proclaim. Thou art mighty, Thou art holy. Glorious is Thy matchless name. Great Redeemer, Lord and Master, Light of all eternal days, let the saints of every nation sing Thy just and endless praise. From the throne of heaven's glory to the cross of sin and shame, Thou didst come to die a ransom.
guilty sinners to reclaim. Come, O come, immortal Savior, come and take thy royal throne. Come and reign forever. Never let that first love die. Be the kingdom all thine own. That is saying, I sacrifice everything to Christ. He is worthy. And just think about it again this morning. Think about life without Christ. Life in a dungeon, in the miry clay, where you can barely get one foot out of the clay and the other one sinks in the clay. And there's no hope of getting out yourself. You can't get yourself out of the clay, let alone out of the dungeon. And someone in mercy, in kindness, comes to you and lifts down a rope and lifts you out of that awful dungeon where you were doomed, where you were soon to die, where you were without help except somebody helped you. Jesus Christ delivered you. He set you free. He offered you forgiveness of sins, redemption, reconciliation. Are you going to take it for granted? Are you going to let some other love in your life be more important now to you than Jesus? I trust not.
Amen. Praise be to Jesus' name. We have a very unique religion that's different from all other religions of the world. We have Jesus. He is the difference. The only religion where our God has loved us enough to die for us, then resurrected, and become our life for us. And in Him is our life. And that's why we have a Christ-centered life and a Christ-centered religion. Every other religion focuses on, ultimately, the things that they do. You know, even the Jewish faith, sadly, turned into the law. We even call it the law. You notice that? You know, the Mosaic law. The system they thought was the solution. You know, they thought the system was the solution. But we have something far better. We have Him. We don't just have faith. We have faith in Him. Faith in what He's done. And I think it is very right and very good that we often are reminded and have our focus and our hearts brought back to Jesus Christ again and again and again, because, and I hope we never grow tired of it, because that's what I think we're going to be doing in heaven, if not all the time, most all the time. I'm sure there's a few other things we'll do up there, but I haven't seen too big of a list of other things. But Amen. Do you love Jesus today? Do you believe in Him? Do you need Him? Do you see your need of Him? You do need Him, but I think sometimes I'm not sure if we see, even after we're Christians, quote unquote, that we see our need of Him every day and every hour. So maybe we'll just open it up and some other people can share what Jesus Christ means to you and how you love Him, how you need Him, how your heart is drawn to Him.
how God blesses you as you do that. Maybe someone would have something to share just as a bit of an overflow.
Yes, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus this morning and that He has saved my soul. I just want to express that here this morning in gratitude to Him. And I appreciate the Word of God so much this morning and the focus on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I was reminded of one of the church brothers at the church in Tamale there in Ghana. He shares different testimonies, but once in a while on a Sunday morning during testimony time, just stands up and says, I just want to thank the Lord again this morning for my salvation. And I've come to appreciate that simple testimony of thankfulness for salvation. And as Brother Dean said this morning, I never want to lose the wonder of Christ's love, His mercy and His forgiveness toward me. And seems like I have such a tendency to allow other things, whether it's work or friends or a new project, you know, just something to steal my attention and my affections. And I want to keep Christ first in all of my life, to keep my heart with all diligence and for Him. And sometimes I have to pray that He would restore the joy of my salvation. But I rejoice in Christ this morning.
I want to kind of feel like Dean, you know, sometimes when we ponder the love that we had when Christ saved us first, where it was just nothing else that you would want. And as you get, now it's been 9, almost 10 years, and you know, it looks like it's been dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And I hate to even think about it, but oh, I want to know. I have a lot to be thankful for, that the Lord saved me, and I know He did. But I don't like when I read in Revelation, but I have this one thing that I have against you, that you have lost your first love. And I don't want to hear the Lord Jesus say that to me.
That's right.
And I do want to get back wherever I don't know what got in between. Did I get used to it? I don't know. But I love the Lord with all my heart, and I thank Him. During the week, I came across a very interesting article. It says, a man earns a living by his wages, but he makes a living by what he gives. A man earns his living by his wages, but he makes a life by what he gives. Yeah, that's right. The way.
That's right.
Well, I was just thinking, this message convicts me some, and I know that I'm pretty easily distracted by things in this world. But I do want to give thanks for conviction too. I guess between the messages there's quite a bit to chew on here for me. Myron talking about the giving of thanks and taking things for granted. Even Steve's message about this window and the glory of God shining on us or through what we have there in our lives. And this thing, I wanted to point out while I had the mic there that one difference between, I think, where we're thinking sometimes and then what the angels are doing. Dean said he thinks the angels there have a job of saying holy, holy, holy and falling down. And in a way, I think that's right. But I think actually they just can't help themselves. Well, that's been my impression, that they're standing there and they actually see God. Just straight out, without any obstructions, without any cares in there, and of the world, without any sin or convict, you know, things that they have to repent of, and without any ungratefulness. Now, they see Him, and in my opinion, it's not their job. It's almost like they can't help themselves, like when you're thirsty and you want water, only more than that, and they just do that as a natural reaction. And it seems to me that if we have that clear window, we have the same reaction. It's not something we have to do like a job or something we ought to do or feel bad about. We just can't help ourselves. And I see this morning there's areas in my life where I'm not doing that. It's not natural to me in some areas, and I just want to give thanks. Lollipops are good, but spankings are too, I guess. And I'm glad God loves us to give us both.
good things that we see good up front and things that we're not too crazy about at first. But so bless the Lord for both.
Amen.
I praise the Lord for the message today, and I am thankful for the Lord Jesus and for His Spirit that I've seen this morning intertwining all the messages. And
Amen.
Right. I've seen it. It's spoken to my heart. The other day I was driving home from work, and the verse came to my heart. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I've seen my treasure being, like Michael shared, in my work, and that's where I've put my mind. And I desire that Jesus Christ would be my treasure. And I'm thankful for these messages that have encouraged me, the opening to be thankful and to praise the Lord for cleansing me of my sins. And I'm thankful for this morning and want to take this with me the rest of the week.
Yeah, one of the verses that Brother Dean read, I think it was in Colossians, maybe in the second chapter, where in Him are hid all the treasures, you know, of heaven. And in effect, what it's saying is Jesus is the treasure of heaven. He's, you know, He's it. If all the treasures of heaven are hid in Him, He becomes the treasure of heaven and the treasure of us all. So, amen. Yeah, Calvin.
Yes, I greatly appreciate both messages today. It was really a blessing. I guess there's a time of just searching my heart, you know, and I'd just like to confess, in the past, I had an idol in my life I was going after, and I had to get on my knees and just confess that thing and just repent from it, you know, and just seek the Lord. And I just like to share, you know, I was thinking that we have to be so careful, you know, in this life that we live, you know, what's an idol in our life. I mean, what is an idol? Anything that you love, worship, or adore, rather, that you love, worship, adore God. And, you know, we need to just have our focus. I mean, I believe it's Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all. And it is, and we have to be very careful. And I just really appreciate the message, and praise God.
Thank you. Isn't it interesting that we've had at least two or maybe three people, we had a message about Jesus Christ, and I don't really remember Dean preaching on sin, but we've already had several brothers make confessions about conviction. And isn't that the power of Christ? As we look to Him, we also, by definition, have to look at our own heart. And then something happens and we realize, oh, something's not right in my heart. And, you know, it's just in looking at Him, there is a direct effect upon my heart. I don't just look for the looking. Something happens in my heart just by looking at Him. That's amazing, isn't it? Okay, where are we at? We're done? Okay, sorry. Yeah, Jordan.
Yeah, I was reminded during the message quite often about a story in the Old Testament of the captain, Naaman, who came down from Syria to prophet Elijah with leprosy. And he came with a whole bunch of donkey loads of presents and gold, and thinking he has to, if he does get cleansed, he's going to have to pay for it, because
yeah,
things don't come for free, you know. We all know the story that Elijah sent him home with his gifts and all. He gave the glory to the Lord, and you know, essentially thinking that he was trying to buy his salvation. And I was thinking to myself, if salvation was something that we could buy with money, or with earning labor or anything that consists of value, then many more would be saved. But it doesn't come by that. It comes by faith through hearing, and an invisible force I feel in my life that Christ really did die for me, really did save us from sin and from destruction. So I'm thankful today with both messages of hope and inspiration, but also of exhortation. So thank you.
I'd also like to say that I'm thankful for the love of God, which is behind Jesus dying for us. And it seems like when I am unthankful of what Jesus has done for me, there's a discontentment there, and Jesus is not enough, and I put my hopes in other things and just a restlessness because my soul needs something to rest in. So I'm thankful for the rest that is in Jesus Christ today.
All right. Maybe, what was that song, Roy, that he had brought up there when Jesus, I adore you? What was the name of that song, Dean? Blessed, you. What number is that? You want to lead that from the bench there?